This morning, we are looking at the treasures in heaven. This is our storing up treasures in heaven. This is our next Sermon on the Mount. We're coming towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We've just got a couple more to go. I was wondering what you think of as treasure. So for me, when I think of treasure, I immediately think of like Pirates of the Caribbean and like a big treasure chest. But I think a lot of us maybe have like a personal treasure box, perhaps a box that you put precious things in, like the first picture your son ever painted you, or a holiday memento from a really memorable place you went to, or maybe something your mother gave you. Something that's not worth much money, but is really important to you. And the things that we treasure reveal something about us. So I, for example, keep every single card that anybody sends me, everything my children have sent me, my Phil sent me, even friends have sent me, and that reveals that I'm a people person and I like to keep those things. But Phil, on the other hand, he treasures different kind of things. I thought I'd get him to show you something that he treasures. I don't know if you can see it. There you go.
There we go.
Now this, you'll tell him what it is.
Oh, well, it's a circuit board from about 30 years ago. Something from a project I worked on. So I, for some reason, I've kept it and treasure it.
And you put it, it's on our wall, isn't it?
I do have it on the wall, yeah.
Yeah, and why was it important?
I think because it was something I was proud of. So that's why I kept it.
And sometimes people do own something that is really valuable, that is real treasure, like in the pirate treasure sense. But we don't actually own anything like that, so I can't show you an example of that. But if we did, I'm sure that we would make sure that it was insured and we would store it carefully and we would look after it. Today in our passage, we see parallels with different kinds of treasure. In our Deuteronomy passage that Tina read, it says that the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession. And he was talking about God's chosen people who were originally the Israelites, but are now all of us who put our faith in God through Jesus. And God had a rather tempestuous relationship with his people throughout the Old Testament, a lot of ups and downs, but he never abandoned them. And he continued to treasure them, so much so that he sent his only son, Jesus, to live and to die for them, for us, so that all the wrong things we do in our lives could be forgiven and that we could have a way for a full relationship with God for all time. That's how much God treasures us. How does it feel to be God's treasured possession? Before we go any further, I just want to invite you to take a moment now just to think about being God's treasured possession. I'm just going to leave us a little bit of space while we think about that now. If you're God's treasure possession, then what is God to you? Do you, do I, do we treasure our relationship with God as much as he treasures his relationship with us? I'm just going to give us another moment to think about that. So in this passage from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We care about the things that we treasure. The challenge that Jesus gave his listeners and that he gives us today is that we shouldn't be storing up treasures on earth, but rather storing up treasures in heaven. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't value the possessions that are special to us, but it's about our priorities. Where do these things sit in our lives? It's all too easy for us, our priorities to change without us really noticing. And as we said earlier in this series, we're in the world surrounded by all the things of the world and all the advertising and the media, and we can so easily be swept along with all of that. And Jesus addresses this by talking about our eyes and what we see. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And what he's underlining here is the importance of keeping our eyes fixed on God. We often let our eyes wander onto other things. We seek happiness in possessions or experiences. And as our focus shifts, so do our priorities. Tom Wright makes this analogy about the way we see things. The eyes are like the headlights of a car. Suppose you're driving along a dark road at night and you try to switch the lights on and nothing happens. You suddenly realise how dark it really is. That's what it's like, Jesus is saying, if your eyes are not on God. And if instead they are following whatever eye-catching pretty thing happens to take their fancy. Are your eyes leading you in the right direction and showing you the road ahead? And then the last part of this passage that Hilary read ends with that well-known verse, you cannot serve both God and money. We know that money is very powerful. We have lots of sayings about money, like money talks, all these other kind of posters and sayings that I found. Money, power, respect. Life is a game, money is how we keep the score. Well, they say money doesn't bring happiness, but everyone wants to prove it for themselves. The power of money and what it can buy is attractive. And it's all too easy to make it more important than God and our relationship with him. We also know that money can do a great deal of good if we have our priorities right and we make sure we're seeing the world through God's eyes. Older translations of the Bible say you cannot serve God and mammon, and that refers to money like a god itself. And Justin Welby, who the Archbishop of Canterbury, wrote a book entitled Dethroning Mammon, i.e. taking the god of money off its throne. And in it, he said this, what we see, we value. We listen more carefully to and are often taken in by someone who is successful with evident wealth. We airbrush out those in sickness, despair, depression, and want. Christians should see more clearly because we have seen Jesus. We are people whose vision has been challenged and corrected, so we can see the world as it properly is. But seeing it badly is still a big problem for most of us most of the time. Jesus spent much of his ministry sorting out the misseeing of others. But how do we ensure that we're not storing up treasure on earth, but rather in heaven? We need to listen to God. Listen to the news with God's ears and see the world through his eyes. And then we need to act. To repent of where we've given more worth to money and possessions than we should have done, and then to act in making a difference. Justin Welby finishes his book with these words. The church should be deeply involved in speaking into society, not because it's always right or has perfect wisdom, far from it, but because it dances to a different tune and sees a different vision. Because we have a different ruler on the throne. We can't serve two masters. There will always be conflict. We need to be regularly checking who is on the throne in our lives right now. Where is our focus? Are we making seeking after God the main focus of our lives? How much do we treasure our relationship with God? God sees each of us as his treasure possession. Do we see him that way? I thought I'd just end by having a time of quiet at the start of Lent now, just for us to repent of the ways or the times in which we're not valuing God as much as we should, where we've got sidetracked and put other things on the throne of our lives. And then when we've had that space, we're going to say our confession together. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Let's say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.